All right, yeah, we'll be in touch.
It's Dave O'Neill here on The Debrief, where I drive home with comedians, or in this case, comedians in the car. I've got Limo, comedy legend, and in the back seat, Lawrence Mooney.
Why didn't you introduce me like that on stage tonight, Dave? Why was it some bloke who's having a crack?
Here he is, he's giving it a go.
Give him a chance.
Now, you're also a comedy... I use the word comedy legends a lot on here.
Have you ever had someone on this podcast, Dave... Who's not a comedy legend?
No, probably not. Not that I know. Yeah, I don't know.
Kirk Pengilly? I mean...
No, Kirk Pengilly, the saxophone player
from Excess.
No, I know, his brother's a comedian, Mark. Yeah. Good friend of mine, the king of puns. We just done the Rosebud Hotel, which went off.
Mark Pengilly's very funny.
Yeah, Kirk's not.
Mark is the auteur of one of the greatest pun jokes of all time.
What's that?
Recently, there was a survey of overweight people of indiscriminate sexual predilections. And by and large, they were found to be by and large.
That's very good. That's very good.
How good is that joke? It's one of the best.
Mate, you should have opened with that tonight at the Rosebud Hotel.
Killing me mum with a brick.
Killing your mum with a brick.
I must say, when you killed your mum with a brick, Loz, I thought, oh, this is a moment where we find out what this audience is really like.
Yeah, what Rosebud's really
and
up
I
for.
Was watching two older women through the cracks in the curtain, and they both nearly shat their pants. I think it was a good time for them to have the adult pull-ups on
those older women were the ones that started talking towards the end of your set movie.
Yeah, Benita and Dee.
Yeah, they just started like having it because it was in a pub at Rosebud, which is like a seaside resort, but there's a lot of locals there basically. And they were so into it, but then those two ladies started having a chat. It was kind of bizarre.
And that was the moment where Moon walked over to them and suggested that tomorrow they might be hanging with the True Blue crew.
That's right.
Punching some heads in.
Because Australia Day tomorrow.
Australia Day.
Anyway, it was a great gig. You were both very funny.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. The Rosebud Hotel. I wasn't quite sure what to expect.
No, because you're a South Australian.
Yeah, is Rosebud... How's Rosebud regarded as a suburb?
No, it's just like a seaside resort.
But it is a seaside resort slash... lower to middle class suburb.
Yeah, working class it used
to
be.
So there's a lot of people live here that, are born around here, but also they can't afford to live anywhere else.
Well, they can't afford to live in... Because, you know, you've got, like, Rosebud Rye, which is... Rye's very Italian. Mm. And then you go Tuggeranong, and then you go up to Sorrento and Pozzi, which is incredibly wealthy.
Yeah, so right. That's the end of the peninsula.
A shout-out to any Rosebud people listening to this.
Rosebud, soul of the earth, mate.
Solid... Yeah, you know, real heartland stuff. And tell you what, this would be a Labor seat around here.
And good laughers.
That was great.
You know, they gave you tonight. They gave you the rolling laugh. So they gave you full credit for every previous laugh and stacked it on.
For the
next laugh.
Because you're a South Australian. I've been to your hometown.
You went to Loxton.
Yes,
that was
Husey.
Funny, Dave, because you went to Loxton with Husey.
Yeah.
And I got the phone call from Husey when you were in at the hotel, the Loxton Hotel, where I think you stayed.
We stayed there, yeah.
And Husey said, "What's the goss, mate? What's the goss on Loxton?" So I gave him a few little tidbits. But of course, you didn't call me, so he had all the local knowledge.
Oh. But I did go for a walk and discovered Pioneer Village or something like that.
The historical village, all right?
Okay, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah,
the historical village, which is a village kind of set in the 1920s to give you a taste of what Loxton might have been like back in the day.
Yeah, on the river.
On the river, but none of it's real. Like, none of it was...
No.
It wasn't like that in 1920. It was just built to look like...
Yeah. And so I made jokes about that. They love that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I did see like an area of the audience with grey hair and jumpers and check shirt, and they weren't laughing. It was your parents and brothers, and your dad, your brother came to me in the break and said, "I said to Dad, he's pretty funny," and Dad said, "Oh, he swears too much."
Yeah. Well, my mum told me that Husey swore too much, but I think she told him after the show.
Yes.
That he swore too much.
Yes.
It's a classic mum move. That's been always her first bit of feedback to every bit of stand-up she's ever seen me do.
Well, you know.
Fuck you, Jenny.
She loves his podcast too, by the way.
No, she's a big listener, big listener. Because that's quite a remote. There's any Renmark in South Australia, isn't
yeah,
it?
Sort it's, of, yeah, so, I mean, it's nowhere near as remote as where.
As Rosebud. But
as Rosebud.
Ooh, lightning.
It was a good gig, though, wasn't it? At the Loxton Hotel.
Oh, it was great. So, it was great. But I was, of course, I had to go on first and I was feeling my way, and so I probably did swear too much. And then I said to Hughesy, I don't reckon they like swearing here. I could tell the reaction. He goes, oh, mate, I'm going to fucking swear. So.
Are they churchy in Loxton?
Bit of churchy,
yeah,
by the look of
them. Yeah, a little bit. Like, you know, my mum is a regular churchgoer. She doesn't like the swearing. She's pretty, look, she's pretty broad-minded.
But
though.
She's also a farmer's wife. I mean,
she's a farmer's wife, but she's very, you know, mum's very. She's a strong Catholic, but she's very pro-gay marriage. She's pro...
Yeah, refugees.
Pro-refugees, absolutely.
Pro-choice.
Pro-choice.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%.
She's not Catholic.
No, 100%. Catholic.
My mum one day, years ago, so going back to about 1993, so my uncle, who's mum's brother, is a Catholic priest, and so the chain of events was... There was a display on at the Adelaide Museum, which is a whole bunch of Nazi memorabilia.
Oh, fantastic. I love a Nazi display.
And it was brought over by a group called National Action, right?
They were like a right-wing group.
Yeah, they're like True Blue Crew, those are patriots, right? Anyway, so that was happening.
I believe their slogan was Asians Out, which is very outdated these days. They used to put stickers around the town.
So that was happening at the museum. So to protest that... The local, this Jewish organisation in Adelaide decided to put on a protest. So a whole bunch of other organisations supported them, and one of them was the Indo-Chinese Refugee Association, and my uncle was the president of that.
What, is he Indo-Chinese, or...?
No, he's my mum's brother.
Oh.
He's a priest.
Oh, okay, I get it.
He was a president of the Indo-Chinese Refugee Association.
Wow.
So he spoke on the steps of Parliament House.
Wow.
As part of this protest. And hilariously... Fucking Spike Milligan was there.
What?
Yeah, because Spike Milligan was in Sydney visiting his mum, and he's Jewish, and the local Jewish people rang him and said, do you want to come and support us? So he flew to Adelaide.
Wow.
So Spike Milligan was there. So my uncle spoke, and they all loved him, you know, particularly the Asians there, because he's very popular in the Asian community, because he supports refugees. Anyway, so that happens. We're walking down North Terrace in Adelaide past Old Parliament House, where they had Speaker's Corner, and the speakers were National Action. Right?
Yeah, right.
So my auntie and my mum see the sign, says National Action, and they're fired up because they've just watched their brother speak. They go, right, we're going to go in and have a piece of these.
So wow.
So my mum and my auntie, Yay, Eulalia, her name is.
What a great name.
Eulalia.
Yeah. So we call her Auntie Yay.
Yay.
So they went in, and my Uncle Jeff's like, oh, God, we have to go in with them.
Yeah,
so
we
both go in, and there's a guy called Michael Brander, who was the head of National Action, is on the soapbox. I guess he'd be a bit like that dude who's the head of the Patriots now.
Yeah,
Who's always in the news.
Yeah.
So he's on the soapbox going off about refugees and Australia's going to the dogs and bloody Asians. All this. Anyway, my mum walks up to the soapbox, stands in front of it, eyeballs him, and then just starts yelling at him about how he's got no idea what he's talking about. And mum must have done a bit of research, because this guy's mum was Spanish.
Oh, wow. Go,
so
mum.
So mum's going, your mum's Spanish, you're immigrants into this country, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this dude with fucking swastika tattoos on his neck starts taking photos of my mum. So then my auntie A comes in, pulls a camera out of her bag and starts taking photos of these Nazi dudes. Right? It's fucking on. They're photographing each other.
It's a photo off.
And I said to my uncle, Jeff, what's going on? And he says, oh, just wait. There's heaps of police there, so. And then eventually it kind of subsided and we left. But Brander was yelling at my mum. Mum's yelling at Brander. And then I was like...
And Spike Milligan?
And Spike Milligan wasn't in the room there. And then we finally, they left and we went to lunch. But I was quite tense.
How old were you then?
It was
a while ago.
22.
Yeah.
22.
Did she get double prints of the photos with a border? Or did she go for the gloss finish?
Yeah, I don't know what she did with that. I mean, had to wait 3 days.
Yeah, of course.
It was an Agfa film or,
I've actually,
or Fuji?
You know what? You make a really good point because I'd love to follow up Auntie A and see if she's still got the photos of the fucking Nazis.
What did Spike Milligan do at the protest? Did he say? Did he speak?
He didn't speak. He was just there,
as
general support.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't you think if you had Spike Milligan,
you'd get him to speak. He might have said, maybe he said, look, I'll come, but don't make me get up.
Yeah.
He might have said, yeah, but
yeah. Do some goons.
It's hilarious, but he's like, I mean, you talk about comedy legends.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John Cleese says Spike Milligan's like his greatest inspiration.
Yeah, 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 of course.
Can I just stop you for a second and look at the drive-ins?
Oh, Dramana Drive-In.
We're driving past the Dramana Drive-In.
What's on?
It's amazing.
There's three screens on.
I can't see out the back because you've got some kind of like
child mesh.
Child netting.
No, Moody, we blacked out the back seats once we knew you'd be sitting in the back.
We don't want to get mugged at the Rosebud.
So I don't get car sick or something.
Oh, yeah, because the lightning, yeah.
You know what? There's lightning lighting up the sky. And it reminds me, on the eve of Australia Day 2018, of that Ganga Jang song. Out on the patio we sit, and the humidity we breathe. We watch the lightning crack over cane fields.
Mark,
and think that this is Australia.
Mark, what's his name? Mark, he was in the Riptides. They were a great band.
You're a Ganga Jang fan.
I love Ganga Jang because I loved his other band, Mark Callahan. I remember hearing Wilbur Wilde interview him on Gold FM, and he said, anyway, it's great to talk to you, Mark, and you've retired now. And he goes, no, I'm doing a gig tonight.
I love those two bars. Yeah. I was working on Triple M Summer Breakfast year before last, and we were talking about the BBL, and I hadn't really been following it. And Shane Warne was in to talk about the Stars. And
yeah.
I knew that he wasn't playing anymore, and I said, so Warnie, are you still involved with the Stars? And he said, yes, I own the team with Sachin Tendulkar. I mean, I guess
I'm still involved. Mate, how's my biggest faux pas, right? Remember the TV show The Fat on the ABC?
Yeah, I used to go on The
Tony
Fat.
Squires.
I went on it about 20 times, I reckon.
Yeah, right. Well, we've all been on TV.
Yeah,
we've
got stuff going on. Yeah, we've got stuff going on.
Right,
Dave
O'Neill. Nugget, mate.
It wasn't a fat appearances fucking competition.
No, you're right. Jesus. I was in the pilot. Anyway, well, that's a true story.
So, you might know Eric Banner. I know Ding Dong, so fucking
bad. Yeah, The Fat.
Mate, Ding Dong ripped through me one night. I'll tell you that story in a second.
Oh, I can't wait.
Ding Dong tried to rip through me. I said, I can't help you, Ding Dong.
So, we finished The Fat, and I'm in the green room, and I'm talking to Lane Beachley, who was on that night. And we're chatting.
The surfer. Yeah, right.
Lane Beachley. Seven times.
Married to?
Hang on, Kirk Gillies.
Yes.
Well, here's the story, right? So we're sitting on the couch. She says, I'm going to get some food. She goes, Limo, have you met my partner? And I go, no. She goes, oh, Limo, this is Kirk, this is Limo. I go, g'day, mate, how are ya? And he says, good. So Lane's not there anymore. It's just the two of us. And I say, so Kirk, what do you do? Right? And he goes, oh, I'm in a band. And I honestly, in my head, thought, no, yeah,
here we go.
Everyone's in a fucking band.
You're also a barista too, mate.
So I go, what's your band called? And he, with kind of a half smirk on his face, goes, In Excess. And I just go, yeah, I knew that.
Joking.
In Excess, so you guys have done all right?
The old,
who isn't in a band? I did that with somebody who said they were writing a book.
Oh, yeah.
I had a personal trainer by the name of Gregory Roberts. And he said, yeah, Lawrence. I said, so what are you up to? He recently got out of prison and was working as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I said, so what are you doing? He goes, I wrote a book in prison. And thought bubble, yeah, fucking everyone in prison writes a book.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, I'll do a couple of bench presses then. Anyway, the book he wrote, it's called Chantarama.
Yeah, which is a huge hit.
No shit.
Yes. Wow. That's incredible. Reminds me of the time...
Wrote, He wrote it by hand.
Was he a bit of a unit?
Oh, he's still a fucking unit. He's an amazing man. But back in 1997, when we started training together, he said to me back then, he grabbed me by the face and said, "Give up drinking, or just may as well pour acid on your face."
Oh my God.
Treat your body with respect.
I don't know about the acid analogy, though.
He escaped from Pentridge, didn't he? He escaped from Pentridge.
Yeah, he escaped from Pentridge.
Yeah. And ended up in India?
Well, ended up running prescription drugs for the Mujahideen as the Afghanis fought against the Russians.
Wow.
Who hasn't, mate?
Yeah, who hasn't?
Yeah, we've all written a prescription, Greg. We've all faked our dad's signature.
It is funny though. I mean, I'm famous for. I was famous for trying to talk Eric Banner out of doing the Chopper movie. So.
Did you try to talk him out?
Yeah. We were on tour. I used to be.
What did you say?
I used to be supporter.
Trying to talk him out of Troy. You are fucking kidding me,
Eric. I don't think it's a bit fucking weird. You're impersonating a guy that doesn't
hear. Listen, Charlton. Ben Hur is not for you, mate.
Yeah, I can still remember where it was. We're at the basement in Sydney. It's a venue. And he goes, I'm thinking of doing a movie based on Chopper Reed. I've done some tests. And I'll introduce you to the director, Andrew Dominic. Come over. I'm like, I don't want to meet your director, buddy. Some student filmmaker. And I said, you mean that guy that writes those books who chopped off his ears? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think something in the air is going well for you at the moment, mate. That ABC show you're doing. Just don't worry about the chopper.
What was something in the air?
It was a 6:30
Frankie J. Holt
weeknight drama
set in a country town.
Yeah,
every Australian successful sitcom.
Sort of like a Country Practice.
Mount Thomas. Right. You know, Blue Heelers. But it was a radio station in the country town.
That's right. Yeah.
And our friend Des Dowling, who organised the gig that we've just been at, got an extras job or a bit part working in the bar. Alongside the publican Frankie J. Hole.
Oh, really?
Anyway, right. So Des starts the scene and he grabs a tea towel and throws it over his shoulder and Frankie goes, "Mate, I'm wearing the tea towel in this bar."
Don't steal my tea towel here, mate.
What a top dog alpha male you are. Listen, mate, I wear the fucking tea towel in this bar.
So, Ding Dong, what happened with Ding Dong?
Ding Dong.
She told you off.
Yeah, I was dating a girl who worked in the makeup department at Channel 10.
That girl whose heart you broke.
Hey.
Hey. Come on.
Anyway.
On the circle.
We broke up, right?
Hashtag me too.
You're on the list.
The breakup didn't go well. Yeah. And so I thought, you know what?
I remember speaking to her about you, and she had.
She's moved on,
she's married with kids now.
Yeah,
she's,
but I could see in her eyes she had massive hopes, and I just wanted to say, listen, he's just a fucking flaky guy. He's just banging anything that moves. And you are just another train on the caboose, baby. And so I said that to him.
All right. Finally, I think I put my finger on the start of the problem.
Right.
So we break up.
Yeah, I was just fucking shit-canning you left to right.
You know when you break up and you're trying to explain yourself why you don't think the relationship's going to work?
Yeah.
But of course, people are annoyed and they don't. You know, it doesn't work.
Ever tells the truth, do they? It's not the right time.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's me.
You don't go, I don't like your weird flap. Or the sounds you make when you eat, or I don't like your eye contact with orgasm.
I've seen your parents. I don't want to be with someone like that in 20 years.
I've seen your mum and her fucking footy socks just freak me out.
Why does she wear them on her hands? So I thought
she's pulling me off.
I thought like an absolute rookie. I think I was. You know what? We can't talk to each other. That doesn't work. I'm just going to send her an email to explain An email!
Wow.
My position.
Am I?
You dumped it via email.
No, we'd broke it. We'd already broken up.
Fuck that.
But this was to
explain. You dumped it via email, you low dog.
To explain my position. So I sent the email. Anyway, about a week later, I go in to do the circle. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I used to do this little sports update. So I'm doing my sports segment, and I'm walking out of the studio, and Ding Dong comes up behind me, grabs me, and I go, "Hey, what's up, Denise?"
Oh,
and she goes, "That email you sent was a disgrace."
Oh my God.
I can't believe so. She showed Ding Dong the email.
Oh,
and
fuck
then Ding Dong tore me apart reviewing the email.
Oh my God.
Almost line by line. I went, "Oh, yeah, okay, so."
Everyone's read their
sorry,
email.
Sorry, Ding Dong
has been, exactly. None of us have been Teflon or pristine when it comes to relationships.
So she was, I guess, standing up for her mate.
I mean, no, look, I have a lot of time for Denise Drysdale, not only as a performer, as a woman, but we've all been shabby in relationships.
We've all had our moments.
Yeah, fucking oath we have.
Come on,
we're human, we're flawed, but really and truly, to review an email...
She gave it one star.
Yeah, don't put it in writing.
I'm going to say yellow card on that one, Dingus.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have put it in writing. That was stupid.
No, a dick pic maybe, but... nice ball bag silhouette.
Trace around your cock and balls and send that.
Good Lord.
Here's some sweet memories, my gland.
Oh, boy.
I've jacked into my hand for you. Am I bringing your podcast down, Dave?
You can't listen to it with the children. I don't think you can anyway.
You can't. I'm doing these Malcolm Turnbull videos, and somebody, you know, you get lots of messages via Facebook, and somebody said, "Can you please drop the F and C's out of them? Because I want to show them to my children. I think they're, you know, of political value, but they're hilarious, and I want to show them to my parents, who I'm afraid would croak if they heard the words F or C."
Really?
And so, I'm not going to sanitise them, but I understand.
Yeah.
Can I just, is there some kind of, computer filter that they can run them through that just eradicates them?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, if you invented that...
That would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
But where do you... where are the F's and C's? Where are they saying that? On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. So I do at Big Mal Turnbull, the unofficial Malcolm Turnbull Facebook page, and it's exploding. The numbers are extraordinary.
They're crazy.
Right.
Yeah, they're crazy. Like, the biggest one is, 250,000.
And that's good. That's very good.
Mate, we all get likes.
We all likes. Not that many.
Yeah. Whatever,
mate. I don't know whether you guys are getting massive corporate fucking offers to buy your page, so like my fucking butt crack, okay? Because it just turned over 60 fucking grand in 30 seconds.
That corporations could buy your page?
Yeah, it's a fucking advertiser.
Oh, okay, yeah, right, yeah, sure.
Have you ever heard of a very popular runner brand called fucking Volley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they going to buy your page?
No, they're not, but Malcolm's doing ads for them.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, nice.
Abusing Australian tennis players for not wearing...
Oh, Dunlop Volley.
Yeah. They're not called Dunlop Volley anymore. They're just called Volley.
Where can we see these ads?
These ads are available on the internet.
On the interweb, yeah.
The most recent one was... Got a bit of heat because I was having... The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, was having a go at Nick Kyrgios... for not wearing Volley, because the last Australian to win the Australian Open did it in a pair of Volleys, and his name was Mark Edmondson in 1976.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Nice. So we need to get back in the Volley.
Is that right? Yeah. Has Leighton Hewitt ever won
Australian
Leighton
Open? Never won the Australian
Pat Cash?
Open.
Pat Cash? No, he won Wimbledon.
Rafter
didn't.
Jeez. None of them, because none, do you know why? Because they weren't wearing Volleys.
Volleys? Don't you get Dunlop Volleys in prison?
Mate, you're not.
They're
on the
not called Dunlop Volleys. They're called Volleys.
Oh, okay, you get Volleys in prison.
I think they're still probably owned by Pacific Dunlop, the company, but they've just changed the brand so it's cooler.
Yeah, interesting.
They're a shit fucking shoe, though, let's be honest.
Oh, come on, man. When you...
Mate, what sort of a... They feel like what home. Sort of a fuckwit wears Dunlop volleys?
Do you know...
What a piece of shit the volleys are.
Well, do you know what? You're a marketing genius because their marketing tagline now is Dunlop volleys, fucking your feet since 1950.
Really?
Isn't that fucking great? Yeah, look boy. At that. And all of a sudden you go, wow, that is great.
We should say that.
Volleys, fucking your feet since 1950.
There's been quite a few codrils taken tonight.
I love... We haven't finished. But the daytime, not the nighttime.
Yeah, not the nighttime. You want to fall asleep.
But it's pseudo-ephedrine. Oh. It's pure pseudo.
Oh, so it's like speed.
And I don't know why it's pseudo. It's not pretend. It's pure ephedrine.
It really
works.
You want
to get in quick because...
they're going to be illegal? No.
They'll be on prescription soon.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You don't want to go doctor shopping for Codral.
But nah. isn't it... Xanax, you've got to go to a psychiatrist now.
Really?
You just can't go to a doctor. You've got to go to a psychiatrist.
With sleeping tablets.
Be prescribed Xanax. So the world's changing. I mean, you want to pump a whole lot of prescription drugs into yourself. All of a sudden, you need a fucking script.
Hey, can you still get cocaine at the chemist?
No.
Only at the dentist. Can you still get gonorrhea at the...
at the Mooney House? Yep.
No, I was going to say the waterfront, but... Jesus Christ.
Anyway, back to Limo's childhood.
Please.
Do you reckon...
Back to Loxton. Loxton?
Yeah, Loxton.
You're one of a subset of comics who went to boarding school.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a few of you that... Mate. We've mentioned Des Dowling.
Yeah, Tom Gleason.
Yeah, Nick Kappa went to boarding school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the big country boys. And, you know, they all have the same inferiority complex. But they'll be found out for the fucking lummoxes that they are. Harvey Breen or Harley Breen.
Harley Breen boarding school?
Will Anderson.
Will Anderson boarding school?
No, Will didn't go boarding school.
Country boys. Country.
Yeah. Tom Gleason. Limo. Big fucking jaw-boned dickheads fucking wandering out of the wilderness.
What year did you go to boarding? How old were you?
I was 14 when I went to boarding school.
So year 8? Right. Year 8, 9.
No, year 10, 11, 12.
Oh, okay. Was that fun at that age group?
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I didn't want to go initially because I didn't know anyone. But after a week, I kind of went, hang on a sec, I get to hang out with all... my mates and kick the footy and play cricket whenever I want. This is fucking great.
Yeah.
I loved it. And a weird quirk of our boarding school, in year 11, we were allowed to smoke.
What?
We had a smoker's rec room where we could go and have a dart.
We had a common room where we could smoke too in year 11 and 12.
Really?
Yeah, at White Fries.
At White Fries, because I went to Mitcham High just down the road from White Fries, we had a year 12 room with a radio and a stereo. I don't think it would smoke.
We could also make tea or coffee in legal and commercial studies. Our teacher was Craig Brady, who played for the Swans in 1981 and 82.
Well, and we were in year 12 as boarders. We were allowed to drink. So on Saturday night, we'd just go out and get pissed. So we'd say to Brother Dennis, who was Victorian, milk bar was code for the pub. So he'd say, where are you going tonight, son? Go milk bar, brother. He goes, no worries. And he'd write milk bar down. And that meant pub. Go to the pub. And you had to be home by midnight. And you'd have to go into his office and check in with him. And he'd chat to you for a while. And if you were
too... Of course he would.
If you were too pissed, he'd ground you for next week.
No more milk bar for you.
No more milk bar.
Were you in the... Was this a country boarding school or Adelaide?
No, this was in Adelaide.
What?
It was Sacred Art College in Summit and Park in Adelaide.
Because it teaches you to respect the drug.
And
they didn't mind a bit of alcohol themselves, the brothers.
So we were 16, sitting in the front bar of the Holdfast Hotel in Geelong, in Glenelg.
Oh, Glenelg, yeah.
Getting fucking blind, smoking darts and drinking...
like you're
drinking schooners of West End. Yeah.
Oh, good time.
How did you escape being a massive pisshead, Dave? You were... raised in the suburbs. Your old man would have loved a beer. So I reckon it's chemical or genetic, isn't it? Because you've never been a big drinker. I've never seen you drunk.
No. Well, that, interesting. Well, my mum's dad was a drunk. My granddad Herb. He was a wharfie, Herbert. And so mum had... And he wasn't violent, but he would come home and, like, tip the table up. So I suppose that is violent. But he would never hit them or... Well, I don't know. But anyway, so mum vowed... Mum would be playing cards with Nana and some of the neighbours, and Herbert would come in pissed and tip the table up, upset that they're having fun.
That's a bit aggro.
That's a bit violent. That's violence. Yeah, and that's violent. So anyway, mum vowed to marry a teetotaler.
Right.
And so she met Kev, my dad, who was in the Air Force, and he didn't drink. So
never has?
No, he drinks now. Oh, he loves it now. He got gout because he drank so much.
So you might be a later day pisshead.
No, but there's four boys in the family, me and my three brothers, and me and my twin Glenn are both teetotalers, really. And then Trevor and Mark, have indulged.
Have or do?
Yeah, used to. Like, mum to this day says, you and Glenn, I walk in your room, teenagers, no alcohol. Mark and Trevor, stunk of alcohol. Because they love...
Are they older or younger?
No, they're both older. Right. So me and Glenn were just not into it. Mark and Trev. Mark used to grow marijuana in the backyard. So they both indulge in alcohol a lot. Yeah, interesting. Me and Glenn didn't. So.
What do they do now?
Yeah, Mark and Trev. Mark was a tradesman, and now he works for a school as a tech. And Trev's like, he's the oldest child. He's in senior management of a building.
You do a routine at the beginning of the show, which I think is great. When you do, you look about it. Particular age, and then you go through the names that are common to the age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you think about Glenn, Dave, Mark, and Trev.
Yeah. And Dad, Kev, and Joyce. Yeah. Yeah.
So, did your parents have the boring fucking name book out?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, mate. You know, and Mum.
What shit names?
But me and Glenn are twins, and we're the youngest, obviously, and she wanted girls, and so she had already picked out Michelle and Susan for us. So I was going to be Michelle. Glenn was going to be Susan.
Eastlink.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I reckon.
No, I reckon you're right. Thank you. You ran off the road.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, so we're not big drinkers anyway. I have a beer about once a week. That's probably it.
What's the worst thing you've done when you're drunk, Dave?
Oh, I vomited at one of my partner, Kieran. I went to one of her friend's houses and got drunk and then vomited on the carpet. Yeah, that's it.
Because Kieran rules you with an iron fist.
No.
So you're fucking shit scared of her, ain't
She claimed when I met her I was addicted to marijuana, though, because we used to smoke marijuana.
Oh, really?
In the shared houses in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, I didn't know you and you're a stoner.
Yeah, and then she said, oh, I would have met you. I was smoking marijuana. And I said, I wasn't addicted. I don't have a joint occasionally. She said, you had one of those little machines that rolled its own joints. I went, yeah, didn't everyone have one of those?
A rolling machine?
Yeah, and a rolling machine.
It wasn't a machine, it's like an apparatus.
I know. But I'm saying, like, didn't everyone have those? Apparently not. So, but anyway, yeah, we used to enjoy marijuana, but not anymore. Yeah.
No, when did you have your last joint?
Yeah, I can't remember. So was that long ago?
Do you want to have one now?
Yeah. Quick, roll it up.
Blow some smoke in Dave's face while he's driving.
We used to sit around and I'd come up with comedy ideas and write them down on a bit of paper and then wake up the next day and it'd just have something like orange trams or, and you're like, oh, fuck, that's so not funny. What I've written down.
Aren't non-specific ideas the most frustrating things?
Oh, man.
Where you've just got no context or...
Toothpaste toast.
Yeah.
Anyway. Awesome.
The crisper.
We're going to smoke a joint. You're listening to The Debrief with Limo and Lawrence Mooney. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. And Homey. They're a Melbourne-based social enterprise creating pathways out of homelessness. Do you know at the moment there's about 100,000 Australians live without a permanent address? And of those, 20,000 people sleep on the streets or in a makeshift shelter. Why not change this? Come on. Go to www.homey.com.au. Okay, back to the program. You're back on The Debrief with Limo and Lawrence Mooney. Mooney's in the back seat.
Thanks for that break, Dave.
Yeah, it was great.
I just had a piss in the water bottle here in the front seat.
Cool. Now, I've got some debrief questions I ask everyone. So what went well tonight and why, Limo?
The drive down was a success.
That was successful.
Because I was in the front seat, Mooms in the back.
Yeah.
And we didn't have too many issues on the road.
What didn't go well tonight and why?
Moon Man gave me two Codral tablets.
Daytime,
not nighttime.
To take
Pseudo-afro
on the way to the gig, and I didn't have any water to drink them with.
Yeah.
So that was a brief disaster.
Dry.
Until we pulled into a servo and
of course.
Got some water.
Now, were there any organisational hazards that got in the way of the gig tonight?
Yeah, when we arrived and the bouncer tried to kick us out.
That was funny.
And he goes,
oi, oi.
Hey, you guys here for the comedy? And we go, yeah. And then we go to walk in that little back entrance or duck past the black curtain. He goes, oi, 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 out. Now, we're the comedians, mate.
And I go,
who are these?
Yeah, I go, look at the poster.
Look at the poster.
It's good to know we've all got profiles that are working at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, we're massive.
Oh, far out. And how can we do better next time?
Sack that bouncer.
Oh, sack the bouncer, exactly. Speaking of sack, actually, we're all three guys that have been sacked from commercial radio.
Oh.
What a combination.
And re-employed.
And re-employed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, it's a pretty big group though, isn't it?
It is a massive group. But it is weird, it's one of the only jobs, it's not football coaches is the other, where you get sacked and it's announced in the paper so everyone can say to you on the street.
Yeah.
I love when you get sacked on radio, people the next day go, so what are you going to do now? You're like, what? You got sacked yesterday. I fucking know.
I don't know, I'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Now, we can play a song. I drop a song at the end of the episode. What song do you want to play? What sort of music do you like, Lima? With Lawrence, we played Rebecca's Empire, didn't we, Lawrence? That was great.
Yeah, that was a great song.
Can I request a weddings, parties, anything song?
Oh, whooper! Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I love a bit.
Mick Thomas.
Weddos.
You know, Mick's, he had a baby. Well, not his wife had a baby, and he's older than all of us.
Was that just recent?
Oh, well, 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
But he looked shattered when I saw him.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I've had a baby. My wife had a baby.
I went and saw him on New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
At the Spotted Mallard.
Oh, yeah, in Brunswick. Yeah, were they good?
Oh, they're fucking great.
With Wally?
Yeah, Squeezebox Wally was there.
You know, he was asking me about gigs that I do, and I said, I do footy clubs and, you know, whatever, pubs and corporates, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I do weddings. He goes, because there's always some bloke out there who was a massive wedding parties fan. And,
yes.
And he brings Wally along, and they do, and he goes, it's so funny. That's normally the groom and maybe the best man are the only two fans. And, like, the bride are just like, what are these guys doing at our wedding?
What's going on?
Why are they playing these songs?
A mate of mine had them at his wedding. They played about 8 songs, though.
Yeah.
But most of the people at that wedding were in the
wedding. Oh, that's good. That'll be good.
What about Wide Open Road?
Oh, well, the Triffids song.
Yeah.
They cover that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song.
It's a great version.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's been great. Has Mooney fall asleep or...?
No, I'm just reading some stuff about Malcolm Turnbull.
he's getting up to date.
Now, doing research.
Dave, it's starting to rain. Can you concentrate on the road,
please? Yeah, true. And Lima, are you doing all the festivals this year? You've got a book out too. We should mention.
Oh yeah, I have. Yeah. The shirt went on itself.
Yeah, it's a good cover.
Get involved.
Get involed.
Memoir of sorts.
Yes, and you'd find Lima on Twitter and Lawrence Mooney, also the real Malcolm Turnbull, in the backseat.
At Big Mal Turnbull on Twitter and Facebook. Hit me up. It's big.